Hello, welcome to a new Psycho and Fanatic podcast, new summer series today, and it's a little bit of a different one. Brent Bloom and I were guests up in the Ames offices of Sukup Manufacturing. Of course, they're the sponsor of the Psycho and Fanatic summer series of podcasts. And we wanted to take this opportunity today to really talk about facilities, expansions at Iowa State and whatnot over the years. Tell some stories, get some information. Steve Sukup joins us today, as does his daughter, and also a core member of that Sukup manufacturing family, Emily Schmidt. And I think you guys will like this. It's a little bit different. It's not really the back and forth Williams and Bloom conversation that we've had in the summer series the last few years leading up to now. But I do think I know I learned a lot from this podcast. Bloom did a lot of great research going into it. Steve gives us some great perspective, as does Emily. And we really hope that you guys enjoy this today as we dive into facilities and Iowa State athletics. All right, episode 2, summer series. Let's go. All right, we are recording today up in Ames. It is episode 2, Brent, of the Sukup summer series. Now, the first one, we got everybody fired up because we did the villains.
Yeah, I got a little people sour taste.
I had people tweeting at me for weeks.
Saying, why'd you do that?
Yeah, like they're driving home for like family dinners and stuff, and it got them all riled up, and they were really mad. We're not making anybody mad.
No, this is a fun topic.
We are we're up here at the where are we actually at, Emily? And by the way, happy birthday!
Thank you. It was a great birthday present to be here with you guys.
That's awesome.
Yes, and we have signs on the outside. We've even had farmers come in asking if they could buy a grain bin here. And we have a MIS major, which you'll appreciate, College of Business. Yep. He's full-time, was an intern with us, and he did quite well. He did the dealer locator on our website, got him the closest dealer, and did very good job for not being in sales.
You got to love those walk-ins, though, right?
Yeah. Our answer is always yes. So.
Steve Sukup, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Have you ever been on a podcast before?
I never have, so this is a first.
Well, this is a second?
Yeah, he did the Advanced Manufacturing podcast.
Okay,
as well.
Advanced Manufacturing.
Come on, Steve, you gotta
remember. All right.
A bit of a different audience, probably.
It is, but there's a lot in common.
Yes,
though.
Absolutely.
You actually know better than me, Brent, because of your current job with Iowa State. But man, it's just, I'm always blown away by the stories you tell me when you're on the road for business. There was a guy in the Detroit airport the other day who was like breeding Cyclone Fanatics.
So yeah.
The audiences for what we're talking about are actually quite...
On loudspeaker, I hope.
Yeah. There you go.
The guy was literally had the forums pulled up on his phone, and I kind of want to tap on his shoulder and go, that Chris Williams is a real jerk. But
that's what everybody else thinks.
I decided not to do that. But no, I mean, the neat thing, and the Sukup family is really synonymous with Iowa State in so many ways, but really pertinent to the topic at hand today. So this is a perfect fit.
Yeah, we wanted to talk facilities in general, and you guys are great people to talk about with that. I mean, where it all starts with me, and then we'll get into some of the cool stuff that's going on now. And I don't go back nearly as far like as you do, Steve, so I think you can really shed some light on this. But I remember just when I was a freshman at Iowa State, jogging on the track and watching Dan McCarney's teams practice at the lead rec. You know, I remember when Greg McDermott was the head coach, and Greg had this great open door policy with the media where he would invite us to practice and stuff, and it would be at State Gym.
Yeah.
It's just crazy to me how far everything has come.
Oh, it's been great.
You probably have a lot better stories than that.
Well, a few. One of the very first ones back in the 70s, we got to meet Lynn Nance,
sure,
basketball coach. But it was because a bunch of Teaks were throwing snowballs at a Cadillac going by, screeched the tires. And
you upset Mr. Nance.
We dispersed quite quickly. But now great memories from going to the basketball games and wrestling and football. And what really got us sort of started along the facilities was the Student Success Center. Frank and Jones sort of said, hey, we got this great project, you know, education is important to us, important to our student athletes, and that was actually the first one. They said, we really need to put our point down that education is the number one thing here at Iowa State, along with athletics. And so came up and started visiting with them.
Yeah, and, you know, Brent, that's another thing, too, just the ties between the two. I mean, we see it all the time with athletic success and how that affects enrollment, and everything just kind of coincides together.
It all fits together, and, you know, this is interesting to me, especially if people don't know my day job. I don't get to do this all day like you do.
Yeah.
But I get to work for
you make a lot more money than me, probably.
No, I don't know about that. But I get to work for the Iowa State Foundation, namely in the College of Business, and so we get to work with Iowa Staters all over the country.
Yeah.
For them to impact Iowa State in ways that are meaningful to them. But, you know, what a lot of people don't realize, and the history of the way facilities have come to Iowa State. Can I take you all on a little history trip right now?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, Iowa State used to play. We know some of the history. They played in the Armory in 1924, the building on campus. And they also played at Clyde Williams Field back in the day. And, Steve, when did you graduate?
Winter of 79, so I was in both of those facilities.
Yes.
Yeah,
okay.
Wrestling in the Armory and Clyde Williams, Nebraska, Iowa State football.
Wow. So you have a great history on this, namely Clyde Williams. It was right on campus, which, look, like when we were here, it's just kind of a memory. They did have the track, which they then built, I think it was Martin Hall, one of the newer dorms, just to the west of Friley. That used to be the football field.
All the way to the cave-in.
There, see? So and then they would...
Man,
it was right
that's
on,
crazy.
So think about that. If that would have stayed, now the capacity was only 35,000 at Clyde Williams. And so it would not nearly have been enough to keep Iowa State's emerging fan base now. But it, really, the situation from what I understand was a lot like Kinnick Stadium, where people would tailgate in the nearby neighborhoods. And then Welch Ave is right there. I mean, do you know where the old Taco Bell was when we were on campus?
Yeah.
Now it's a Dunkin' Donuts. That was literally right across the street.
Didn't that place get shut down for, like, cockroaches or something?
It wouldn't surprise me,
yeah.
The Taco Bell.
I think it did.
But that literally...
Sorry to derail that story.
The Clyde Williams Field is right there, and it had to be kind of an interesting environment being right there on campus, which we're not accustomed to now with Jack Trice being where it is.
Yeah, there was a few Huskers that lost their cowboy hats while walking between Helzer and Friley there. So.
Which dorm did you live in?
Helzer. Halstead, Helzer. My first year, and then went to the Teak House.
What about you, Emily?
Maple. Only for a month, then moved into the Greek community.
Okay. Bloom?
I was a Larch guy.
Larch, I was Friley.
Yeah, there you go.
I was Friley Hall. So we got it all
we
covered.
Got, we got it covered. But so anyway, Clyde Williams, they figure out, you know, in the 70s, it's kind of antiquated, falling apart a little bit. So that's when Jack Trice Stadium, which it was Cyclone Stadium at the time. But let me backtrack a little bit.
Okay.
The Iowa State Center was instrumental for what Iowa State is today. The Iowa State Center, of course, is the four-building structure just southeast of campus. It is Hilton Coliseum. It is Fisher Auditorium, C.Y. Stevens Auditor,
And Scheman.
And Scheman. That's the other one. That's the other one. But this got started, the Iowa State Center. In 1953, Iowa State named James H. Hilton the president of Iowa State. Now, this guy was a farmer from North Carolina who came to Iowa
State.
Hilton was? Yes.
Okay.
This is not like Hilton Hotels.
Yeah.
This is not involved Paris Hilton or any of her television shows. This was James H. Hilton, who was a farmer out of North Carolina, spent a year at what is now North Carolina State, and then came to Iowa State to study something called, and you guys can help me out here maybe, animal husbandry?
Yep.
Any idea what that is?
Well, dealing with livestock, so
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so animal husbandry is what James H. Hilton studied, and he went on to become the dean at North Carolina State before he was hired as the president of Iowa State in 1953. And one of his big initiatives when he first started was, we have to have an athletic and a cultural complex where people can congregate at Iowa State. So they had a fundraising target set up to raise $20 million back in 1955 to bring the Iowa State Center to life. This actually created the Iowa State Foundation. The foundation which we now have, which I am employed by, would not have existed probably without the need for the Iowa State Center. So the target was $20 million, and the first gift was an anonymous donor of $2. The next gift was
start somewhere.
The next gift was $1 million from C.Y. Stevens. C.Y. Stevens, nothing to do with Cy, as in Iowa State Cy.
Wow, it really doesn't.
The gentleman's name was Clifford Y. Stevens, who owned a dairy business in North Carolina. and he gave $1 million, which would now be probably $9 million in today's dollars, to build C.Y. Stevens. That got the thing started. Hilton Coliseum was built in a large part because of student contributions, no state money at all for this project. And Fisher Theater and Scheman Auditorium, also Fisher being Fisher Controls out of Marshalltown, was the lead donor there. And then Scheman was, had a steel business of some sort. So long story short, philanthropy and gifts from Iowa Staters really paved the way for what is the Iowa State Center. And Hilton Coliseum opened in 1971. And the starting point guard for Iowa State that first game against Arizona, which was a win, by the way, was Eric Heft.
Wow.
So it all kind of comes together. And it's amazing to me, and I didn't know this until I looked this up this week, how much private support and just Iowa State alums have had in the history of really what this athletic complexes are. And Hilton Coliseum, this was the most wild part to me, was originally designed to be built as an arc-shaped. But they ran out of money, and so they had to do the current structure, which is ironic considering all the flooding and water concerns at Hilton over the years.
They could have used an arc.
That it was originally designed as an arc.
Man, that's some deep research right there.
Well, Chris, Brent's story reminds me a little bit how on the Student Success Center, somebody from the foundation, sort of like Brent, came up and said, hey, we got this new building we want to build. And he shows the drawing, and it's, you know, nice, beautiful building, but the roof was all a black shingle, just all black. And I looked at the foundation guy and goes, you know what? I really like clay tiles. Why don't we put something like a clay tile and some type of Psy theme up there? And he about fell over because he thought I wanted to put Psy in the roof. And all I wanted to do was put some red tiles and some of the blonde tiles and other tiles together. And so he goes, okay. And you could just see his eyes rolling back. Went back to Warren and President Joffre at the time and says, well, this guy wants to put clay tiles up there and a little bit of a Psy theme with colored tiles. And President Joffre goes, whoa, I've been to France. That's where my wife and I had seen them. And says, those are beautiful buildings. We'll do something like that. And Warren says, you know, they do last 100 years, so I'm good with that. So So the Student Success Center has our clay tiles up there, and that's what we contributed to the project.
Very cool.
That's awesome.
And then this summer, you know, we won the Cy-Hawk Trophy based on academics.
Yes.
So thinking about all the academics involvement and how that's the first thing, it was nice to win one on academics as well.
How many we got a few Cy-Hawk trophies in a row, right?
Oh, gosh. At least two.
Yeah.
And it was fun to, and kind of fitting that Iowa State beat Iowa in that because of academics, which we all kind of knew to begin with. And now I realized again that Iowa State now has, 5,000 more students than the University of Iowa, and we have about 15,000 more alumni in the state than the University of Iowa. So long story short, Iowa State is pretty much taking over.
Yeah, well, we're talking a lot today just about the growth of things.
And yeah.
I want to go back to the practice facility because you guys are instrumental, obviously, in what Iowa State has now. And the end zone's fantastic, and that's something that people had been clamoring for decades. But that practice facility should not get lost on things because, again, the state gym thing, I remember this. I remember Yuri Ubalik nearly getting burned on the heat.
Those radiators?
The heat pipes.
Heat pipes.
You know, in state gym. That's how bad of a situation they were in.
They would practice there and Forker as well. And if they could get into Hilton, they would. But Hilton was busy all the time. So,
was the whole selling story with it. Back before when you could do a little bit more with tailgating, Vicky's dad, my father-in-law, Lauren, we'd do roast a hog for Johnny Orr. The basketball team would come over, and you'd hear Johnny go, we don't have one blankety-blank basketball court on campus that's full size.
Wow.
Whether it was state, lead, folk, whatever. Yep. There was not one full size. And so that always sort of sunk into me. And then when, Frank calls again and says, hey, we got this complex going up. You know, we'd really like you to be involved. I'll give you a tour around. And so we showed they were just starting some block out there. So they had the foundation going. But we went over to Hilton and says, you know, here's the lockers, but we have to move out every 2 days because of an event coming in. The players never had a full-time locker they could leave their shoes in. And so it was like, wow, something has to make a difference for a program. And seeing what Steve Bergson did with the original indoor stadium for the football team and said, hey, this is something that is going to be signature for Iowa State.
And it is. You talk to any of those guys, and it's right up there with any other in the country, well, Brent.
And you could really draw a pretty close correlation to when that facility was built, which was, what, 2009?
Yeah, I mean, that's right when Fred was taking over, right?
And Iowa State's run of success.
Greg was here, and it was perfect for Greg's program. But, with Fred coming in, I mean, Fred had to have a facility ready to go if he was going to go into a program. And, I'm not sure that Fred was used to the NBA programs and first-class college basketball, and we were able to offer him that.
That's great.
Well, and so I came when that was built, 2009. I had just finished working for the Orlando Magic, and that facility was nicer than the one the Magic were practicing in at the time. And it's just – and the great part – I mean, this is perfect Iowa State – is something that not only was incredibly useful, effective, and gorgeous, but it was also pretty efficient and cost-effective as well, which it's like Iowa State to a T.
Jamie had it all laid out. He had the game plan going and putting it together, and both for men's and women's.
Right. I mean, that's the other part of it.
Yeah, for Greg and Fred and everything, but Bill Finley, it's always fun to talk to Bill because, man, he's got his own facility. He tells a story of some other coach coming in and goes, yeah, this is really nice, so when do you have to move out for the other teams? And he goes, no, this is ours.
So that's an interesting aspect of this, and I've had both Fred and Steve Prohm have both told me how nice it is for them to have the women right next door because they both lean on Bill so much just from a mentoring, especially Fred right at first. Yeah. He had never been a head coach, and just being able to just walk across the hall and talk to him was always a big deal to them.
Yeah, I mean, it's great having the facilities and, being able to bring in Steve and just keep on running with our program, and looking forward to next year is going to be exciting.
I do think there's an aspect of this too, Brent, when it comes to just team chemistry.
Oh, absolutely.
And so I actually had a member of the staff reach out to me last week just about how much this year's team has been using that lounge. Like, because they're a bunch of young guys, right? And, like, if you think about it, though, let's think back to the Uri Ubalik almost burning himself on the pipes days. Those guys leave practice, and they probably don't see each other that much, right? Like, now, they dine together. They, they're playing video games. They're watching Game of Thrones, whatever they're doing. That does help with the team building, especially if you think back to all the transfers.
Well, and I think what the motto of the transfer era was Focus Town. And that's indicative of...
You guys should buy a shirt right now. They're for sale.
Cyclone Fanatic.
We got some shirts for sale.
But that's that provided the congregating area for them to focus. I mean, if you're in Wayne Morgan's era, I mean, those guys, that's when we were there, and Emily was too, 2008-ish.
Yep.
Okay. They would go to practice, and then they would kind of go off on their own. Now, a lot of them lived in Freddie Court at the time. But those that didn't, they're going to their apartments, what have you, and they didn't have a common place. And I really do think, I think there is a correlation there between when that facility got built with the run of success Iowa State had, because how many stories did we hear about Matt Thomas and Naz Long and George and Monte just spending hours on hours until midnight some nights just in the gym either, hanging out or just getting shots up, so...
And now Utah Jazz is posting about Naz and George on Best Friends Day. I mean, even the pro circuit's benefiting from all these relationships.
Dude,
those guys are the best.
Niang and I actually, here's a sneak peek. We were texting this morning. He's committed to doing a couple of long form, fun tell-all podcasts.
Oh, gosh.
Like Niang, totally off the record, just relax in a really relaxed setting.
The kiss.
Oh yeah, we're gonna get all the details on every legendary Niang story that there is.
That could be trouble.
Yeah, it'll be great. So, and I've been very honest about this. I did not grow up an Iowa State fan. I grew up a Hawkeye, and then I came to Iowa State, but it really is God's honest truth. The day I stepped on campus, I hated Iowa, and I was an Iowa State fan. I can't explain it. That's how it happened. But I remember from day one, everybody clamoring about the end zone.
Oh, I've got,
you know.
Yeah.
And then not only Iowa State fans, but you heard it from the other side about how it's not a D1 stadium. I know my Nebraska fans used to give me that crap.
You used to have a hot tub in the end zone.
So yeah, you remember that. Because
see,
I don't
remember the days.
So this is great. That's very few people remember this. But
by the way,
I
like that idea.
Well,
hot tub parties in the end zone.
So Iowa State, this is absolutely 100% true. In like 93, 94, I think, is when this promotion, I think it was with Hot Spring Spa. They were a sponsor. And they had a hot tub in what is now the south end zone.
Like, I remember
just
that.
Right there with, and there was a corporate tent, like a big old Cardinal.
So how did you sit in the hot tub?
You had to rent it out.
How much did that cost?
You rented the tent. There was a corporate tent. It was like the ones they have on in the parking lot now. They had one right behind really the goal line. Like you'd get out of the end zone. There's the guys of the cameramen. And then there's a big tent with a hot tub next to it. It was unbelievable. I mean, at the time, I'm 10, or how old would I have been? Yeah, like 10, 11 years old.
Like women are sitting there in bikinis.
People
and
are
dudes
in
have their shirts off.
In November. And as the story goes, the band would always, on their final home game, the seniors would get in the hot tub in full band uniform. So, I mean, I can't imagine the aroma in that thing.
We've come a long way.
Well, but it's just amazing. I mean, I'm 10, 11 years old. Like, that is my dream, is to watch a game in the hot tub. But
did you see the Jacksonville Jaguars, what they're doing this year?
Well, they've got a pool, don't they?
They have a pool. They're opening up a dog pool park.
At the stadium?
Yeah. Like, so you can be hanging out in the pool watching the game. I don't even know if you're watching the game. It might be like
just
in the
hanging out with your dog.
But you can take your dog to the dog park that is, there's like, it's a water park for dogs at the Jacksonville Jaguar Stadium.
Well, interesting. Well, quick history.
I don't want to do that at
Iowa State. I think we don't need that.
No.
But Jack Trice was Cyclone Stadium at the time and broke ground 1973.
Okay.
At a cost of around $20 million. And what that land was, so they had the Iowa State Center, which is where, you know, Hilton was, again, Sheeman, Fisher, and C.Y. Stevens. But they had a bunch of land there and a big hill. And I don't know if you remember this hill, Steve, but they basically carved out the two ends in this hill with big, heavy-moving machinery, and it only took them 2 years to build Cyclone Stadium at the time. It opened 1975. First game was a win over Air Force.
Air Force was there.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
And slowly over time, Iowa State added on or changed things, but things really got going, you know, in the 90s with the Jacobson Building, which was the lead gift was from Richard Jacobson of Jacobson Companies, who was actually a University of Iowa grad but supported both programs. And Iowa State didn't have permanent lights until 2002. So I remember they would bring in the old Musco lighting. Yeah, and they didn't have a night game until 1986. So for 11 years, they were all day games.
I think one of the Oklahoma games is one of the great night games.
It was.
Then.
That
yeah.
was the first night game was a yeah. game against Oklahoma.
So the Seneca Run, did they bring in the Musco lights?
That was the first
Texas
year with
Tech?
Permanent lights.
Oh, okay.
It was 2002. Yeah, Seneca's
I remember
run.
Watching
yep.
that game on TBS.
Yeah,
remember when TBS had the Saturday night game of the week?
That's not that long ago that Iowa State would have to cart in lights for games. But I mean, when I grew up, that was the biggest thing, and I would say it was not very good in the 90s. And I know, Emily, you grew up going to games as well. You could literally just kind of drive in and park wherever you wanted, and it was really a glorified high school stadium. But
it's kind of like Kansas is now.
Yeah,
I mean,
pretty much.
I mean, that's a Kansas game. You don't have to buy tickets. You can just go up and get a free one.
They had that rock-hard AstroTurf that was awful. I mean, they didn't have any lights. The Olsen Building, which was really state-of-the-art at the time, was 20 years old. They needed something going. And so Gene Smith really got the ball rolling for facilities, and then it just skyrocketed when Jamie came on a little bit before that with the indoor Bergstrom facility. And then the south end zone was always like the golden goose, though. Like, this yeah. – it was a legend. Like, this will never actually happen for Iowa State. And when that happened, I mean, when I toured it the first time, it was literally like a dream come true for a lot of Iowa State fans who grew up that way, because you never thought this was possible. And that, maybe more than anything, was Iowa State has arrived, because they finally had, and it just completed the whole look of the stadium too, state of the art. And man, that I think that now feels that Jack Trice Stadium is completely whole.
Steve, what was that like for you? Because you had heard people clamoring for it longer than us when it was finally up. How much pride did you have in that?
Oh, it was fantastic. Going back to Gene Smith that talked about it, Vanderbilt, talked about it, and then Jamie, and Jamie Tidal's about sort of opening up the bottom drawer of the desk, and there's plans down there.
Hung out there for a long time.
And then Jamie invited us down, and actually it was sort of Emily, Matt, and Andy, and part of the third generation that says, this could really be a signature place at Iowa State, and said let's get on board with it. And it, the plans just finished out everything, like you say. It moved it from college to close to that pro. It was the right environment, perfect environment.
That's cool. I didn't know that the youngsters were so involved in that, Emily.
Yeah, so we worked with the architects and the firm of just trying to mesh the grain bin exterior with the end zone, because grain bins in Iowa are synonymous as well. And we'd already done our own office building. We've been working that between 2012 and 2014. And so we've had already some experience of integrating our product with a circle staircase and some ceiling features. So we worked close with our BIN engineer, myself, and the architects on the project to fit just right what level of involvement of Suka steel.
And there was a lot of perforated steel, which we use perforated for all our grain dryers.
Yeah.
And so we have the Iowa State logo on one perf and then the Suka logo next door. And at that time, grandson Xander was like 3 years old, and he was looking at the signs, and he goes, "Iowa State, work. Iowa State, work." So he's ingrained in it too. So he's ready to come in, fourth generation.
The Suka grain bins are everywhere now. You got the bar down in Des Moines.
I get texts from people at 2 p.m, I get worried about the, hey.
I was at a racetrack over, Bloom, you've been to the Adams County Speedway with me, right?
Oh, recording.
They've got these Suka-up grain bins where you walk into the track now. You have to walk through a grain bin.
Yeah,
really cool.
Those are info booths, and if you're ever around them, you could really see the engineering behind it. It's already got forklift pockets on the bottom. It condenses if you take the stiffeners off, so it's just a pop up and set up go, and that's why affairs like them.
Yeah. So the end zone, though, the one last thing I wanted to touch on with it, Brent, was just how it really has impacted the atmosphere too.
Oh, completely.
In Trice, and I think the biggest compliment too is even my Iowa friends, who it's hard for them to say anything nice about Iowa State, regardless. When they start complimenting the atmosphere, which happens all the time now, that's when you know you've done something special.
And I think the neat part is, and you guys have to take tremendous pride to see your name, Iowa company, so involved with Iowa State, such a legacy with Iowa State, but to have that cemented there, what was that pride like when you saw that first game against UNI sold out? 61,500, third largest stadium in the Big 12 now, and there's your family name right there.
Well, we could take great pride in it, and we celebrated, and we knew good things were coming down the road with it, and it's well placed.
Let's have some fun.
Definitely. And
have you ever felt more excited about Iowa State? Because I've been saying I think 2018. Might be like across the board when you look at all the sports. I feel like this might be the most anticipated year that I've been around.
It's the time that we're expected to win, and that's okay. Yeah. That's good. We're ready for that in our program, like it was for the bowl game. Last year we were expected to win. That was important to win, and we're going into this year.
And like we talked in the 90s, I grew up rooting for the underdog and still staying at Kemper for the sessions that we didn't even play in.
Yeah.
But coming into this season, expecting to win and just a great, a way that I can pass on to my kids.
Yeah.
Bringing them to the game. The end zone is a nice family atmosphere, and going from the planning from Hilton's, Stevens, and it just is all coming together as family atmosphere.
Yeah.
And now family, great area for the end zone, and new memories.
That's a cool thing. I clearly am working on game days, so I don't get to do the family tailgates and stuff like that very often. But I did this year. There was a special circumstance, and I took the TCU game off. And I sat there with my daughter. She's 3. And she watched the game for the most part, because there's cool colors and the band and all that stuff.
The ribbon board's fantastic.
I got the best picture of her staring at the field afterwards, and everybody else has charged it. And you know, you can do like the portrait mode on your phone now, and it like you said, you can share it with your kids. Man, there's something really special about that, because when you go to a school, you know, it becomes a part of you. I can't really explain it, but like, something about taking my dog for a walk on a Sunday afternoon on Central Campus is insanely special to me. And most, you know, I don't think a lot of people would fully understand that. But I can tell when I look into your guys' eyes and you talk about it, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And what you just said about sharing it with your kids really struck a chord with me.
Yeah, they're already talking about, you know, where Cy lives and who and how they're going to go to Iowa State. And, you know, we try not to push it on too much, but it's hard not to with how much we surround them with it.
Well, my kid is, I mean, she'll either go to Iowa State or she's got to pay for it on her own. I mean, that's pretty much the option. What about Everett, Brent?
Well, he's clearly going to be involved with Iowa State, you know, one way or another. He's 3 months. I think we've already signed his papers for his letter of intent.
Yeah.
Currently in the 70th percentile for height, so it could be 6'8", considering, which would be a miracle. I'm going to start asking some questions about mom here shortly. No, but I think the residing question is, when are you guys going to put in a hot tub?
Yeah. Is that coming, Steve? We have plans for a hot tub?
That's down the way.
Well,
we'll
put it on the list. But I think, you know, it's really neat. The stadium is really indicative of how much Iowa State has grown up as a whole as well. I mean, without the growing alumni base, I'm not sure you can fit in 61,500 people. And it's just a great story of how Iowa Staters have all worked together. And really, you know, everyone says, oh, it's, you know, Iowa State's making all this money because of the, you know, the TV contract and the Big 12. And while that's a significant part of Iowa State's revenue, really, it still is on the generous donations of Iowa State families, Iowa Staters, well, that have been the big part of it. And
your expenses go up too.
Completely.
Yeah.
I mean, and you know, keeping Matt Campbell, I mean, you need a couple of things. One, you need nice facilities. Okay. And you know, the salary is a part of that, but it all goes hand in hand. That can't just be just TV that covers it. And, you know, Iowa State still to this day, they didn't use state funds for back in the day with the Iowa State Center, and still with that south end zone, there was no state funding with that. It was all Iowa State private funding, generous support, and, you know, some TV money as well. But I think that just goes to show that I think people assume, oh, all that's just covered this gigantic budget for Iowa State. And that's not the case. It really is because of generous Iowa Staters that things like this have happened throughout history. And one other quick story, and I know.
Man, how much research
did
you do
on facilities? I was fascinated by this thing.
This guy knows everything.
Jack Trice, the statue right outside,
yep.
Jack Trice City.
Got my wedding pictures taken.
I assumed that was there for a while. It was actually located between Beard Shear and Carver on campus, and it got moved in 1997 to correlate with when they named it Jack Trice Stadium. It was Cyclone Stadium, but they named it Jack Trice Stadium in 97.
And there was a student movement to get it done and
correct
to name the stadium Jack Trice.
Wow.
We also think there's a movie somewhere or ESPN.
There should be.
Yeah.
You know, 30 for 30 on Jack Trice, Niall Kinnick, because they've got great stories. And
well, isn't Sifker working on that?
He's doing something. But I didn't know that statue.
Scott Sifker is actually, I think that's being like produced right now.
Nice.
Like literally exactly what you said. It's on both of them. It's really, I don't know where he's at in the process.
We talk about facilities, but it was always the people that brought you to Iowa State. I mean, right now, Coach Campbell, Coach Prohm, Jamie, we got the perfect people in place, and so now it's just through the years to be able to match up the facilities with the talent we had here. So it was fun to match up.
Steve, what's your go ahead, Emily.
I was going to say they've done it the Iowa State way. Mm-hmm. It's always been family oriented. So even going back to the facilities planning, that you have parking, you have family. I remember going to basketball camps in middle school, and like Bill Finley brought his son, and this is just something that's never been lost. Doing all this planning.
Yeah. So what's your, Steve, what's your most proud and, like, happiest Iowa State moment? And then I want your most gut-wrenching one.
Can't have one without the other.
Can't have one without the other? Oh, my.
Yeah.
A couple of them. One's when Naz hits the three to win the game in, you know, basketball. That was fabulous. I guess I have to tail on you know, some other great partners from Iowa State, Roy Ryman. Roy and I were sitting beside on the sidelines when we beat Kansas, and Fred brings us back to the locker room and, you know,
cool.
Says how integral everybody's part of it. And then, you'd mentioned earlier, the Seneca run. Does anything get better than the
Seneca
run? Yeah, yeah. You know, the crackback block. And
how many games have you missed? Oh,
not a lot of home ones. Yeah. Not a lot of home ones. Yeah. So, yeah, yeah. So we've been coming since Clyde Williams and
so cool.
72, 73.
Do you tailgate?
Yeah, we tailgate.
And so you have like a set like schedule every home game?
You were mentioning what my worst moment was.
Oh, yeah.
It was a couple years ago. Iowa State game. We've got the Sukup End Zone Club. You know, we're all getting together for a tailgate, and Emily's invites some friends, and Crystal and Matt invite some friends. I pull into our parking area.
Jeez,
and
somebody, I know where this is going.
Somebody has a pop-up Hawkeye tent.
No.
And I got out of that car so upset.
In your spot.
Well, beside it,
no,
but it was
way.
One of those.
Close enough.
It was not.
And then he found out it was in the crew that came. So I was quickly, I quickly bought an Iowa State tent to give to the people that they can bring, so we had shade without being from Hawkeyes.
Man, that's a good move. What about you? What's your favorite moment?
I think it's just the atmosphere of Old Kemper.
You've brought that up a lot. You really have great recollections of Kemper.
It was old school, but it was fantastic. Were you at the Big 8 championship?
Yep.
Oh,
yep.
I didn't go to that. I'm still mad. I had the opportunity to go with my dad, and I had like a tournament.
Was that the Dedrick Willoughby phrase?
It was.
So I grew up and I wanted to bounce the ball like Dedrick Willoughby. Like he had a little extra bounce in his step.
Yeah.
And my sister and I, she got the number 22 for basketball. So I just started trying to bounce the ball like him. I just remember winning those games, and that was just a fun. It was my mom's parents. You know, we'd still watch all the games even when we weren't in them. But it was a life lesson to continue and root for the underdog.
Yeah.
Those teams were the ultimate underdog, too.
It's funny. Like, I don't know what it is about Kansas City, but I think those are some of my best moments, too. Mine weren't really from Kemper, but more...
The first Big 12 title.
I mean, covering that with you, sitting there courtside with you is incredible.
With Niang getting the... Well, that was the game before, the Kansas game, when he got the cut and everyone wore the Band-Aids.
Nianging. Everybody was doing that, yeah. And it was like 75 degrees that day, so everybody was a little loosened up going into the arena that night.
Yeah, that I mean, there's the great thing is, I mean, I think the best memories for Iowa State are to come, and maybe it'll be this year. But I mean, nobody would have thought you go win at Oklahoma, and then that TCU environment was extra special because that was kind of like this upcoming year, Steve, where there was expectations for that game.
We could win.
Got
that
it
one.
Done. Yeah.
For me, the Bloom, I don't know if you remember. I'm sure you do. But Oklahoma State, 2011.
Yeah.
So that happens, and it's so out of nowhere. Because that Iowa State team was left for dead going into that game. I don't know if many people remember. We didn't really have a quarterback. Like, Oklahoma State's going to play for a national title.
Yeah, they just won on the road by 65 at Texas.
And Clones were down 17 in the second half. Yeah. So, like, it seemed like it was impossible. But the lasting memory I have, well, first of all, we did like a 2-hour Cyclone reaction that night. We upset a lot of affiliates because we
were
ran
not
way
getting
over.
Off the air. Yeah.
But I remember at the conclusion of that game, I was like, oh, I can't sit here in the press box and be professional. I've got to go up to the radio network booth. And we were all hugging each other like, I mean, it was like grown men crying in that booth.
Well, Bruns, you and me and Walter, Ben Bruns definitely was crying.
Yeah,
he's a big bear.
It was just a wild scene. I wish we could have had that on video. That was the coolest part. I think Heft kissed me.
Well, that Eric is emotional. No, I mean, I think that's the thing, and kind of wrapping it up, Iowa Staters, they have a common, humble nature to them, and really what it's built on, and Iowa Staters love being around Iowa Staters, and it's never been easy. What's your phrase? It's never been easy being an Iowa Stater.
It's not easy to be an Iowa Stater. It's awesome. Or
whatever. Like whatever it is.
I've thrown it out there multiple times. It slips my mind
But it's extra rewarding then when we do have those good times that, you know, we've stuck through a lot of stuff, and yet now we've got some great momentum going forward, and it's, man, it's a good time to be a Cyclone.
Thanks for joining us today, guys.
We would love to.
Do you have anything else, Chris, you want to add? You guys are going to be back in a couple of weeks, and we're going to talk about the safety homes and all the great stuff. And
we like building things. So
you do like building things, and you're building a lot of cool things that are helping people all over the world.
The grain bin and the 757, the grain bin, a real deal?
Yes.
Like you can act.
757, yep.
That seems like a large grain bin.
Landing's a little tough, but it'll fit.
That's incredible to me. The visual.
You're obsessed with that.
Well, I mean, have you seen a 757?
Yeah, I mean, I have. I mean, absolutely.
They're not small.
No, they're huge.
I mean, how much grain?
But, like, how many people do you have to ask to believe them?
Well,
you know, Rachel's told you it's true.
Well, I believe Rachel, but I to hear it from multiple sources, we always check your sources in journalism.
This is true.
Yeah.
This is true. All right. Thank you, guys. We had a lot of fun. And happy birthday. What are the birthday plans? Anything crazy going to happen tonight?
No, just celebrating with family.
All right. That's good. We'll be back with another summer series here. I haven't looked at the schedule, but in a week or two, we'll find something really fun. We want to do this is what I want to do next.
Okay.
The current sustainability of Iowa State football.
Okay. That's been the biggest
hurdle. That's what everybody's talking about. Like, oh my God, people expect us to win now. Can we? And we're going to discuss that. That'll be great. On the next episode.
Look forward to it.
All right.